Today on the Pastor's Study, we will continue our study in Psalm 119. Today we'll be looking at verses 33 to 40. And the title of our study in Psalm 119 today is entitled Characteristics of a Teachable Spirit. Characteristics of a Teachable Spirit. So let's begin right now by reading verses 33 to 40 down together. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law, yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies, and not to covetousness. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. Establish thy word unto thy servant, who is devoted to thy fear. Turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. There are some people that never learn. In other words, they do not have a teachable spirit. The psalmist, on the other hand, had a teachable spirit. God could teach him some things. In our study today, we're going to look at four characteristics of a teachable spirit. And they are, number one, subordination. Subordination. Number two, submissive. Submissive. Number three, supple, supple. And number four, sincerity. So let's begin to look at the four characteristics of a teachable spirit today. The first one is subordination. Look again in verses 33 and 34 with me, amen? He says, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Now, the persuasive idea throughout this section is a dependence upon God for knowledge. Now, as again, we're looking at the first of the four characteristics of a teachable spirit, subordination, in other words. First of all, he must have a desire to learn. Notice the psalmist says, teach me. He says, teach me. He asks God to teach. He's in subordination to God. He wants God to teach him. He's not out to teach God anything, and he knows that. Amen. And we see this same thought over and over again in this psalm. For example, in verse 12, he says, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. Looking in verse 26, again he says, teach me thy statutes. Again, we just read in verse 33, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes. Then in verse 64, he says, teach me thy statutes. Verse 66, teach me good judgment and knowledge. Verse 68, teach me thy statutes. Look at what verse 108 says. He says, teach me thy judgments. Verse 124, he says, teach me thy statutes. And verse 135, again, teach me thy statutes. Amen. So he has a dependence, amen, upon God for knowledge. In other words, he has a desire to learn from God. Amen. Going back, we see in verse 34 of Psalm 119, he says, the psalmist says, give me understanding. You know, it doesn't take me very long, amen, to find something I don't understand. Again, we're looking at the first characteristics, one of the four characteristics of a teachable spirit, subordination. And we see that you must have a desire to learn. And learning begins with a consciousness of ignorance. Let's look at some verses. Notice in Job chapter 15, verse 9 with me. He says, what knowest thou that we know not? What understandest thou which is not in us? You see, a know-it-all attitude is not teachable. I don't know about you, but I've run into many of those types in the ministry, amen? And not only in the ministry, but in just in life in general. Look at in Job chapter 6, in verse number 24. We read, teach me, and I will hold my tongue, and cause me to understand wherein I have erred. See, we must be quiet in order to learn. Teach me, I will hold my tongue. We can't learn if we're always doing the talking, amen. Praise the Lord, isn't that right? Job 42, verse 3. Who is it he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understand not things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. And Job realized that he understood him. He didn't understand a lot of things. And he had to look to God for that understanding. Look at in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 7. It says, and now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. And I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. Here's Solomon taking the kingdom, amen, over from his father. And he's acknowledging to God, I'm just a child. I don't know how to go out and come in. And of course, we see that God said he'd give anything, whatever Solomon prayed for. And he prayed for wisdom and knowledge. Because he realized he didn't understand a lot of things. And he needed God to teach him and show him. And then in Psalm 139, verse 6, we read, the psalmist wrote, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Again, we see that the psalmist there realized that there were just some things he just didn't understand. Amen. And he couldn't understand. So we see that learning begins with a consciousness of ignorance. You know, we have to admit, we have to be, if we want to have a teachable spirit, we have to be subordinate, amen, to God, and acknowledge our ignorance, if he's going to be able to teach you and I, amen? Now, the second characteristic of a teachable spirit is submissive, or another word would be obedient. Look at verses 33 and 34. 33 and 34 again. Teach me, O Lord, thy way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I will keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. A man who will not do what he is told will never learn very much, will he? You see, he must, first of all, he must be willing to apply what he learns. There's got to be a commitment. You see, the psalmist wrote here, I shall keep it unto the end. Too many today are ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth, as the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3 in verse number 7. The second thing is, as we look at the characteristic of being submissive is a characteristic of a teachable spirit. The end of understanding is not merely knowledge, but obedience. Understanding is not an intellectual matter, but a heart matter. Notice again in Psalm 119, verse 34, the latter part, he says, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Not with his whole mind, his whole heart. Amen. It's a heart thing. See, when people are disobedient to God, it's a heart thing. They have a heart problem. Let's compare that with Proverbs chapter 9 in verse number 10. Proverbs 9:10. We read, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Amen. So it's obedience. It's not just knowledge for merely knowledge sakes, but obedience to that knowledge. Amen. And obedience comes from the heart. It's a heart thing. Heart, an issue of the heart. In the Old Testament, no one is wise who is not also good. You see, true wisdom always shows up in good moral character and judgment. Good moral judgment. Amen also. And we see that obedience is a delight, not a burden. Amen. Again, Psalm 119, looking in verse 35, the last part of that verse, he says, for therein do I delight. It's a delight, not a burden, to be obedient. Amen. To what God has taught you. Amen. To the understanding that he's given you. Amen. Now, the third characteristic of a teachable spirit is supple. 35 through 37. Let's look at those verses together. He says in 35, make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I light. Delight, amen. See, what we see here is he must be willing. You and I must be willing to change. We must follow where God leads. He says, make me to go in the path of thy commandments. You need to ask yourself, how does the word of God affect your feet? In other words, affect your Christian walk. He also says, amen, in verse 36, incline my heart unto thy testimonies and not to covetousness. You see, the verb incline means to stretch out or bend. See, the psalmist recognizes his natural propensities are not towards the word of God. See? So God must help to bend our mind and emotions towards his truth. We read in Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. God's cords of love are what incline our heart. Then look in verse 37. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. So we see, we're looking at the third characteristics of a teachable spirit. And that's supple. And we saw the first thing under that would be a willingness to change. Second of all, reorder priorities. A priority is an order of importance. Priorities are a heart matter. Amen? Again, We read in verse 36, incline my heart unto thy testimonies. Let's compare that with verse 34, which says, I will observe it with my whole heart. So priorities are a heart matter. You know, what you put first. Amen? It's a heart matter. Who is reigning on the throne of your heart? The Lord Jesus Christ or yourself, your flesh? Amen? Three things the psalmist wanted removed from his life. The first one we see is covetousness, which is selfish desire for something God has not given to you. Pursuing after money is an inferior value, despite what society tells you. Amen. It's an inferior value. Look in 1 Timothy just for a moment. Let's turn there together. In chapter number 6, in verse number 10, for the love of money, not money, but for the love of money, is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. The highest value, my friend, is the pursuit of knowledge of the Word of God. Amen? You cannot chase after material things and learn the Word of God at the same time. Look with me in Matthew chapter number 6, in verse number 24. Jesus warns us that no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. We're looking at three things the psalmist wanted to remove from his life. We saw the first one was covetousness. Second of all, beholding vanity. Verse 37. He says, he asked God, turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity. The word vanity means worthless, and suggests something that is hollow, empty, and frivolous. He prays for God to turn his eyes away from trivial things. Amen. For us today, we need to turn our eyes from TV and magazines, and you know, there's a lot of stuff for the eye gate today in this society that we need to turn away from. And the reason he prays for God to turn his eyes away from trivial things is so he can focus them on the Word of God. You see, most sins start with the eye gate. You remember Eve? She saw that the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, she saw that it was good to eat. How about Achan? He saw the wedge of gold in the Babylonian garment. He saw, he coveted, and then he stole it. We see before David committed sin of adultery with Bathsheba, he saw her washing herself. Amen. So we see most sins start with the eye gate. The third thing that the psalmist wanted to remove from his life is reproach. Look at in verse 39. He says, turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good. Amen. He says, turn away my reproach. Reproach can mean taunt or scorn. There's different kinds of reproach. Reproach of iniquity, also shame, is another word for reproach. Reproach of iniquity. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 39:8, he said, deliver me from all my transgressions. Make me not the reproach of the foolish. See, the psalmist, he feared for the reputation of God. And we should do the same thing. That we don't do anything to bring shame and reproach against the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The psalmist, he didn't want anything in his life to reflect in a negative way upon the character of God. And we should be the same. We should have the same desire. Amen. Let's look at in the book of Nehemiah for just a moment. Let's look in Nehemiah chapter 5. Nehemiah chapter 5. And in verses 8 and 9 of Nehemiah 5, we read, and I said unto them, we after our ability have redeemed our brethren the Jews, which were sold unto the heathen, and will ye even sell your brethren? Or shall they be sold unto us? Then held he their peace, and found nothing to answer. Also I said, it is not good that you do, ought you not to walk in the fear of our God, because of the reproach of the heathen, our enemies. So Nehemiah was speaking, and he was saying about, amen, that they shouldn't sell their brothers. You know, the Jews. The Jews shouldn't sell their brothers, the Jews. Amen. It was a poor testimony. Amen. To the heathen. Looking in 1 Timothy, chapter 5. 1 Timothy, chapter 5, in verse number 14. We read, I will therefore that the younger woman marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. And in this chapter here, 1 Timothy 5, Paul's instructing about the care of the widow. And he's talking about the women who are widows are very young. Said, it's better for them to marry, amen, and to bear children and guide their house than to go, as he was talking about in this chapter, going from house to house and with idle chatter and, you know, being busybodies and so forth and so on. Better for them to marry, because that would bring a reproach. That would allow the adversary, amen, the unsaved, the heathen, to say something reproachful against that particular woman who was a widow, a young widow, because she wasn't conducting herself like she should, amen. Now, there's also reproach of infertility. Look at in Genesis chapter 30. Let's go to Genesis chapter 30. In Genesis chapter 30, I want us to look at verses 22 to 23. And God remembered Rachel, and God hearkened to her and opened her womb, and she conceived and bare a son, and said, God hath taken away my reproach. You know, she said, no one's going to laugh at me anymore. There was shame in the Old Testament if a woman did not have children, amen. There's also reproach of infirmity. Looking in Job chapter 19. Job chapter 19. And in Job chapter 19, we want to look at verse 15. Job 19:15, we read, they that dwell in mine house and my maids count me for a stranger. I am an alien in their sight. And of course, Job was speaking about himself. Amen. Even his servants counted him as a stranger. even those that were in his house, his family, counted him as a stranger and an alien because of his infirmity, because of his condition, amen? And then, of course, is a reproach of indignity. Looking in 1 Samuel with me. 1 Samuel. In 1 Samuel chapter 25, 1 Samuel chapter 25 with me, and in verse number 39. Okay. And when David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, "Blessed be the Lord that hath pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal, and hath kept his servant from evil, for the Lord hath returned the wickedness of Nabal upon his own head." And David sent and communed with Abigail to take her to him to wife. Amen. So here we see that this man Nabal offended David, didn't want to help David. Amen. And his wife Abigail interceded because she realized this was the king and her husband could be in jeopardy. But here we see that this reproach, this man was indignant against King David, but God removed that reproach away. Amen. Now, we want to look at the last characteristic of a teachable spirit, which is sincerity. Going back to Psalm 119 with me. Psalm 119. We want to look at verses 38 to 40. We reestablish thy word unto thy servant who was devoted to thy fear. Turn away my reproach which I fear, for thy judgments are good. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. We see that he was devoted. He says in verse 38, establish thy word unto thy servant who is devoted to thy fear. Establish, the word establish is the basis for our word established. It means confirm. He was praying, make me sure of your word. The psalmist did not doubt God's word. He was asking God to validate his word in his life as a confirmation to all that God's word was true. And we can do the same. You know, an illustration of this is, if you think about it, every wife likes frequent confirmation of her husband's love. She enjoys her husband's love for her, but she enjoys fresh demonstration of his love. And it's the same way with you and I and with God, that we want a confirmation, amen, that his word is true. And we want to see it validate, have a validation of God's word in our lives. So we've seen today, as we've looked at Psalm 119 again in verses 33 to 40, characteristics of a teachable spirit. Subordination, number one, subordination. Submissive, number two. Supple, number three. And sincerity, number four. Now, do you have a teachable spirit? Amen. God wants to teach you. We all Christians need to have the same heart attitude that the psalmist did, for the Lord to teach, to be subordinate to the Lord, to allow him to teach you, to realize that, you know, to acknowledge your ignorance before God. And he'll teach you. If you'll ask for wisdom, the Bible tells us, he will give you that wisdom. Well, that's all the time we have on the Pastor's Study today.